new survey has found that 95% of those aged between 8 and 12 own their own smart device. And over one third of those, 34%, can go online whenever they want. This is a report by Cyber Safe Kids. They did ask about 4,500 children between that age group. And joining me now to discuss it is, of course, the co-founder and also the chief executive of Cyber Safe Kids. That is Alex Cooney. Good afternoon to you, Alex.
Good afternoon.
So you asked these children about their internet safety habits. Maybe an obvious question, but why?
Because I think it's really important to recognise that children are very much engaged in the online world. And these figures obviously attest to that. And we've been gathering data as part of our educational programme over the last 7 years. So it's really interesting also to look at it year on year. So, you know, we're seeing growth actually this year in some of these areas. So you cited that figure of 95% of children owning their own smart device in the 8 to 12 age group. And actually, that's a 2% increase on last year. So last year it was 93%. And we also have a figure of 87% of those children with their own social media and or instant messaging account. And again, that's an increase of 3% on last year's figure. So I think it's really important to keep an eye on this and also understand what the implications are of children being online.
So 87% reported having their own social media and or instant messaging account. The minimum age restrictions are 13 on some of the most popular apps, as it's been worded here.
All of the most popular ones. Sorry to interrupt.
Oh, all. Okay. Okay.
All of the ones that the children
want to get on.
Yeah. So there's kind of the top seven apps, which we cite in the report. They all
so
have
go through those top. Go through those top seven for me.
So we've got YouTube actually being the most popular of all those apps.
Yes, you can use YouTube without an account.
You can view YouTube without an account, absolutely. And actually, YouTube shorts are really popular. And funny enough, later on, we ask in our survey, we ask children, do they post videos of themselves? You know, yes or no. And if they do, where do they post them? And actually, most kids aren't posting videos on YouTube. They're more likely, far more likely, to post videos on TikTok or Snapchat than they are YouTube. So this suggests to us that they're you know, very engaged with YouTube, but more as consumers than creators. Whereas TikTok and Snapchat, they're obviously creating content themselves and posting it.
I was having the conversation this morning with my colleague Owen on Kildare Today, and we were going through the newspaper articles and we saw this. And I was mentioning when I got my first phone, I wasn't allowed one until I was 12. But my very first phone had a camera and I could go online and do all those things. So when I saw in the report, I'm now 29, there are going to be, you know, people my age who kind of, I guess, grew up to a certain extent with social media in their lives from, you know, pre-teenage, that is. You know, we had things like Bebo or whatever. And then obviously the phones. But I did note that 15% of the kids between 8 and 12 surveyed said that they had no rules in place at home for going online. Do you think, or have you found, that that's because some parents did not have the same experience in terms of technology and maybe don't know that there should be regulations around it?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think, you know, in a lot of cases, parents are kind of one step behind and we need to rectify that. And, you know, actually, it's not absolutely not just a parent issue. It is a wider societal issue. And if you think of something like road safety, we are addressing it as a society. You know, we've got the Road Safety Authority, which was established through legislation. We've got public awareness campaigns being run by them. We've got resources in schools. We've got parents parenting on it, you know, teaching their kids to cross the road safely, teaching them to ride a bike, which is a, you know, kind of years of process until they get to the point where they can independently go out on those bikes. You know, so we've got a kind of societal response. Industry's playing its part by putting safeguards onto bikes, onto cars, you know, and are held to account over those safeguards. So we've got a really comprehensive response to users of the road, you know, to be safe and for children to be safe as road users as well. And we need that level of response for children being online. You know, I think if nothing else, these statistics point to how active children are in the online world. And these are young kids, they are preteens, as we've said before, and we've got to catch up. And yeah, parents weren't parented on this. They were parented on road safety. They weren't parented on online safety in general. But you know, times have changed and children are online. They're going to continue to be online. It's hard to see us rolling back any of those changes. And of course, you know, digital skills, digital literacy, these are really important skills for children as they grow up and as they go to college, as they get jobs. You know, so we want them to have those skills, but they need to be well prepared for the online world. They need education, they need support, they need oversight and monitoring, and they need ground rules around use and access, especially when they're young. So, you know, it is disturbing when we see 15% of them tell us there's no rules. And over a third of them also said that they can go online whenever they want. So that's kind of unlimited access to the online world. And again, we would say children in this age group, really important to have boundaries around use and access.
And this might scare, and I don't mean to scaremonger anybody or scare anyone, or I'm not trying to, but 64% of children, nearly two-thirds, say that they've been contacted by a stranger. That's in an online game. And in regards to those online games, almost one in three preteen boys aged between 8 and 12, they're playing over 18 games online. This gaming world, people can, you know, end up meeting so many, just being on your device for a few hours, you can speak to so many people across the world.
Yeah, there's someone on our board, a guy called Mick Warren, who's just retired from the Guards and who worked for Interpol for many years. And he said to me a few years ago, you know, when you give a child a device, you're giving them access to the world. But what you need to realize is you're also giving the world access to that child. And I think that's a really important message. There is such incredible access to almost anything you want to know. But at the end of the day, these environments were largely designed for adults. You know, there are some child-specific sites out there, but largely what we're talking about are environments that were designed for adults. So, you know, children aren't necessarily going to be protected from harm at all in those environments. And yeah, it's unfortunately all too normal, as you saw from the statistics, nearly two-thirds of children telling us that they've been contacted by someone they didn't know in an online game. You know, it's all too normal for that to happen. And what we need is to equip kids so that they are really confident about how to manage these situations, but also, crucially, that they're not giving any personal information away to people that they don't know.
Over one quarter have reported that they have friends and followers that they actually don't know online. That they don't know offline.
Yeah. So, I mean, a third said they were playing games with people they didn't know, which is one thing, you know. So, and again, what we'd say to kids is, you know, ideally don't play with people you don't know, stick to the people that you know offline. But, you know, social media is something else. You know, the way that we use social media is very much sort of to share a portrait of our lives. So it can be quite a personal picture. You know, we're sharing photographs, we're sharing information about our likes and dislikes. Sometimes we're sharing information about where we live and where we go to school. So really important that we are only sharing that information with people that we know well offline. And that is an important message to get across to kids, because as you can see, there, you know, a quarter of them are telling us otherwise.
And 20% of those surveyed, they have said that they've seen something online that they wouldn't want their parents to know about. And unfortunately, communication is key for parents with their children, and reading something like that won't put much confidence in parents to let their kids, I guess, be online unregulated.
Children in that age group ideally aren't online, you know, without that oversight. You know, ideally they are on their devices in family spaces, in kitchens, in living rooms, not in bedrooms with doors shut. Because if they are in bedrooms with doors shut, you know, the parent or carer is completely excluded from what the child is doing online. So we really do need that oversight and that kind of vigilance on the part of the parent, especially when they're young. It's going to get harder as they get older and as they get into their teens, and their need for privacy and their need for independence increases. But I think the ground rules when they're young should include that the parent engages regularly on this, that there are conversations around it, that they can check the device, that they can check chats and so on, and check friend lists. You know, that should be part of the deal, and it should be done in an open and transparent way. But it should be part of the great ground rules.
Alex, people who've listened to this and want to get more help or advice in terms of, you know, letting their child, or if they're a guardian of a child, be as safe as possible online, they can obviously get that advice on CyberSafe Kids. Give us more information there.
Yeah, so our website is cybersafekids.ie. We also come into schools and we talk to children directly. We talk to teachers. We do parent talks. And, you know, sometimes these are offered in local libraries or through the local schools. So absolutely get in touch. We have e-learning courses on our website as well for parents and other good resources. So there's really lots of information. We would also encourage parents to look at webwise.ie, which has lots of great resources as well. And then there's a really good one in the US called Common Sense Media, which has great advice for, like, if your child comes in and says, for example, they want to be on Snapchat, you know, there's great advice around Snapchat, and it gives kind of a parent view, a child view, as well as their own expert view. So you're getting a really balanced set of information there about it. And you can then make an informed decision as to whether or not it's right for your child, or, you know, if they are going to use it, then these are the ground rules around use. So yeah, there's lots of good information out there, and, you know, absolutely get in touch with us if you're concerned.
Well, co-founder and, of course, chief executive of CyberSafe Kids, Alex Cooney, thank you for the time.
Thank you.
So this Thursday, 2 days away, the 8th of September, lots of sixth years, or those who have previously been in sixth year, will be receiving the first round of CAO offers. It's such an exciting time. I wish I wasn't such a worrywart when I was younger. I wish I could go back and change that. That's one thing I keep saying to myself. So if you are worried about your results — I wasn't worried about my results, I was just more worried about what to do, if I was doing the right thing, etc., etc. Don't. I know it's so easy to say it, but sometimes you just need to grab yourself and be like, don't worry. It's a waste of time. I have wasted so many hours of my life worrying. There are a lot of people out there who want to help you. And one of those is the organisation Turn to Me. I'm joined now by the CEO. That is Fiona O'Malley. Lovely to speak with you again, Fiona.
Good afternoon. Thanks so much for having me.
So it is a big week for many, many people, students preparing for college. And that is one of the support groups that have just been launched by yourselves at Turn to Me.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've launched two different support groups. This week we've launched a support group for teenagers going back to or going to secondary school for the first time. And we've also launched a support group online for people who are starting college or going back to college, because, as you say, around the time waiting for those CAO results, a lot of people struggle with their anxiety, naturally and understandably, I guess. But as you say, a lot of it is unnecessary anxiety. So if people want to reach out to us on Turn to Me and to join those support groups, we'll give you the tools on how to mitigate those levels of anxiety and how to reduce those stresses.
Okay, so give me a brief overview, because, you know, anxiety is so vast and complicated, and it's not as if you can say something right now that is going to wave a magic wand. But what are some of those tips that you can give across the airwaves that can help anybody? Obviously, the support group we're first speaking about is those for going to college. But I guess anxiety can affect anybody at any age.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that we would recommend for people to do is yoga. And the best thing about yoga, particularly today, a lot of yoga classes are available on YouTube and available for free online. We'd also recommend for people to go for walks, to particularly if they have dogs or pets to spend time with animals. That can really help reduce those levels of stresses. And then also hanging out with friends, even going for a coffee, meeting someone that you love and you trust, can really reduce those levels of anxiety. And speaking to peers, speaking to people who are going through something similar, can also help you feel less isolated, less like your feelings are unique and your struggles are unique. And that in itself can be quite comforting for a lot of people. So if people want to talk about the difficulties they're facing and the stresses and the things they think about, because I suppose going back to or starting secondary school or college can be very, very stressful for lots of different reasons. Like when people are starting, we'll say, secondary school, if it's for the first time, you know, going back to secondary school, a lot of people are very worried about it. And the support groups that we run are peer-led. So people who talk in the chat function about the support groups, they are the people who, I suppose, drive the conversation. So it'll be, I suppose, people talking about similar struggles that you might be facing. And we have mental health professionals running those support groups who are there to be able to maybe gently suggest some solutions that might work for people. So Turn to Me is there to help people find ways to manage that, I suppose, level of anxiety, and to learn the tools you need to get through it. And people can be honest honest. They can be themselves without any fear of being judged on our platform. The support groups are also 100% anonymous and confidential. So you'll be able to speak to people in the chat function who understand what you're going through. And the support groups are run every Wednesday at 6 p.m. for secondary schools and every Thursday at 6 p.m. for people going to college or going back to college. And they can do that. They can register for free for either of those support groups on the Turn to Me website.
One of the things you mentioned there was speaking to your peers or speaking to anybody. That's the most difficult thing I think most people find to do. And once I think you can speak to somebody close to you, you can reach out to organisations like this also, etc. But what advice would you have and what encouragement would you give to people to be able to reach out and speak about something? Because if you haven't spoken to somebody about it before, it can feel like this massive mountain that you can never climb. But once you actually do get into a conversation with someone, you're probably so surprised at how great you feel after and how much better you feel.
Yeah, absolutely. That's such a good point. And it's like the old saying, a problem shared is a problem halved. A lot of people might feel like, you know, they come across as a bit odd or they come across like they're weak if they're talking about the problems that they're having. That's never, never true. Once people talk about the problems that they're having to people maybe in their year or people who they know are going through something similar, they often realise that they're not the only ones going through that. And indeed, it's generally universal themes that people struggle with around this time, like, oh, a fear of failure. For a lot of people, it's like, oh, I mightn't get the course that I wanted. I mightn't impress my parents. I mightn't impress my siblings. I mightn't impress my friends. And a lot of pressure, you know, can come from ourselves. A lot of pressure comes from pressure we put on ourselves, unnecessary pressure oftentimes. So the best way to, I suppose, start that conversation is to just text a friend or to WhatsApp a friend and say, are you free for coffee or do you want to go for a walk? And sometimes when there's something like coffee or lunch or a walk, or if there's, you know, a dog there or a pet that you're bringing with you, that can act as a bit of a distraction nearly. And it can, you know, I suppose, reduce the pressure that some people might feel in initiating the conversation in, I suppose, a confrontational way or something that might come across like a bit of an interrogation. If you have a cup of coffee there, it's something that can, I suppose, balance that level of stress and that anxiety and even initiating that conversation.
Fiona, just finally to touch on the back to school support group, that's for secondary school students. It's running on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. A lot of parents listening right now, they will have their kids entering secondary school, obviously, for the first time over the past few days, and maybe feel like there can be other things they could do to help them. Briefly, just go through what exactly the support group in terms of the secondary schools does.
Yeah, so the secondary school support groups, they run Wednesdays, as I say, at 6 p.m. People can sign up on our website, turntome.ie, and they're 100% free. And people can just talk about the issues that they're having, whether it's feeling isolated, whether there's a bit of bullying going on in school that they're a bit nervous about, whether they're preparing for exams. Those support groups are specifically designed to talk about those issues, and we have mental health professionals that are trained to deal with those issues. Similarly, the support group for people going to college on Thursdays at 6 p.m. For college, for a lot of people, it's unfamiliar, it's nerve-wracking. Starting a new college means a new timetable, new campus, new classmates, new cities and new homes for a lot of people. So a lot of unknowns. And again, we have mental health professionals tailored and trained to deal with those specific issues. So please sign up if you're feeling like, you know, any of these support groups would suit you and suit the problems or the anxieties that you're facing. Please sign up for those support groups on our website, which is turntome.ie. That's turndigit2me.ie.
Well, thank you, Fiona, for your time this afternoon. That is Fiona O'Malley. She's the Chief Executive of Turn to Me. And Turn to Me is a national mental health charity. They've launched these two support groups on Wednesdays for those in secondary school or beginning secondary school. That's at 6 p.m. And then for those heading over to college or back to college, the support group runs on Thursdays at 6 p.m. As Fiona did point out, you can head on over to the website. I'm on it at the moment. You can create your free account. There's support groups, there's one-to-one counselling, then there's peer support, there's video chat, there's text chat, there's by phone. This is all in terms of your counselling journey. You can find out all the details, as Fiona said, on the website turndigit2me.ie. Now, there's lots of events happening this week in terms of Naas Wild Food Festival, the food trail. Don't you always want a food trail? That's like what I'd like every single day. That will be starting on Wednesday night, and there are events running into the weekend. And the organiser of Naas Wild Food Festival, Dina Sharkey, does join me now. Hello to you.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Well, thank you very much for joining me. I really like the wording food trail 2022. Like, I'm actually hungry right now thinking about it. A tour of five great restaurants in Naas. Let us know more.
Yes. So our annual Wild Food Festival kicks off starting on Wednesday. This is our 10th year, and we kick it off with our super popular Wild Food Trail, which involves just what it says, going on a wonderful gourmet tour of five of our local restaurants, kicking off at 33 South Main Street, Tanny, Bouchon, Las Radas, and Maharaja. And you get samplings of their wild food and a drink as well. So it's a really great way to have a taster of our various restaurants in Naas.
I mean, I have to say Naas is known for its restaurants. They've always been very successful in the town. Why do you think that is? What is it about Naas that, I guess, attracts the chefs, restaurateurs to come here?
I think it's the quality of the restaurants, the local produce. I think that's one of the big things. And the restaurants seem to be so proud of what they have on offer. So the full food trail, we still have tickets left for Wednesday and Thursday night. They're going fast, so I would suggest booking. Tickets are available from downdaroad.com. That's downdaroad.com. And then we will have our Friday evening kick off with music. That's going to kick off at 6:30.
So what kind of acts can people see?
So on Friday, there's a Bruce Springsteen tribute band called Glory Days. They're very popular. An Irish band, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, Bonocion. And then Saturday, there's an ABBA tribute band, which we had at the last Wild Food Festival in 2019, which it was a rockin' night. Patty Casey will also be on Saturday evening. But there will be music all day Saturday and Sunday. And then in the evening on Friday and Saturday, there will be ticketed entry, which would be €10. And then children will go free.
Yeah, you can find out more information about it all, as Dina did say, on Down the Road, downdaroad.com. But one of the things that have been advised to people who do decide and hopefully will be on this food trail and just enjoying this festival in general is to wear the comfortable shoes and clothes, because you will be walking around the town to get to these five restaurants.
Yes, and bring umbrellas, and then there is parking in the town center, but we do encourage people to walk or cycle, as we do promote sustainable environment, as this whole festival is a Naas Tidy Towns project. It's not for profits. It's run by volunteers, and we've had great support from Kildare County Council, local enterprise office, Flavors of Kildare, on Garda Síochána, and of course the Tidy Towns volunteers. We just needed to get that plug and thank you. Otherwise this wouldn't be possible.
Well, absolutely, to say thank you to those people. And of course, you can get more details on the website I told you about, downtheroad.com. You can also head over to Naas Wild Food Festival, their Facebook page. It's happening from tomorrow, Wednesday. That is the 7th of September, believe it or not, already a week into September. Kind of mad to think. And it will also be running Thursday, the 8th of September. That is from 6 o'clock, beginning in 33 South Main Street. You can also call 086-075-1813. That is the number there if you need it do get in touch with us here at KFM if you missed it. And you can also email nacewildfood@gmail.com. That is the organiser there, Dina Sharkey of Nace Wild Food Festival. Thanks so much. I am joined on the line by the chairperson of St. Mary's Band in Maynooth, Pat Boyd. How are you today?
Very well, thank you, Ciara.
Pat, you have the St. Mary's Brass and Reed Band in Maynooth. Originally founded, believe it or not, people, in 1795. It was inactive for a time in the 1920s. That was during the War of Independence. And then the band reformed in 1931. So that meant in 2021, the band was celebrating its 90th anniversary?
Absolutely right. Long time.
Amazing.
We're still here.
You too. We thought you too were going on for a while. This band is beating everything. Like, that's absolutely amazing. Tell me more about the band, because you have won, you know, awards, etc. We'll go into more about that in a minute and the travelling you'll be doing. But tell me about the band itself. How many members?
We would have in the region of 35 in our senior band, and then we have a junior, well, we call it academy band, with about 16. But we're hoping to add to that, because Maynooth is really expanding, and I know there's a lot of competition for younger people, but we'll be starting a campaign in the new year looking for new members.
Well, you note here when you got in contact with us that there are many nationalities among the band members. You're saying Maynooth is expanding like so many places in County Kildare. We'll know more about the figures of Census 2022 in the next few months. But some of the nationalities represented in the band: Belgian, German, American, and just recently Austrian.
Yeah, we had a lady came in contact with us just over the past weekend, and she's a French horn player, lives in Leixlip, and she was born in Salzburg in Austria, and believe it or not, her name is Maria.
Oh my God, I love it. You know, that's one of my favourite movies ever, Pat, The Sound of Music. I only saw it for the first time a few years ago. I absolutely love it. I could start singing now, that song, so I better not.
You couldn't make that up.
No, you couldn't. No. It's a pretty cool thing to be able to say that Maynooth, St. Mary's Band does have Maria from Austria.
And it's The Sound of Music from a new band. So there you are.
I love it. So this Friday, you are heading over to Germany to a big international music festival.
It's a huge festival. There's over 30 bands from all over Europe. We were there in 2018. It's held every 2 years, but the one in 2020 didn't happen because of the COVID. But we're all geared up now for Friday, and we'll be doing 6 or 7 reciters all over the weekend. But it's a fabulous place, a fabulous festival, and as I say, we meet musicians from all over Europe. It's just people have a ball, enjoy the music, and just it's a very good weekend.
Pat, tell me more about yourself. What instrument do you play?
Well, I'm long enough around to be playing. At present, it's euphonium. I play trombone and trumpet.
Your first instrument is what?
A euphonium.
What is that?
I knew you'd say that.
I have never heard of this.
It's a smaller version of a tuba.
Oh my God, okay.
Yeah.
Euphonium. I am Googling this right now because I have never heard of this before. Okay.
It's one of the nicest instruments in the band because usually it comes second in line to the trumpet with the melody line. They have counter melodies running through it. It's a lovely instrument to play.
And it's gorgeous to look at as well.
It is, yeah.
All brass and reed is amazing to look at. People listening, obviously, Pat, will want to know more about the band and getting involved. When it came to yourself, how did you get involved with the band?
Well, I started off when I was 13. They were looking for members, and about, I think, 90 members joined. 90 youths joined up in 1955, and a lot of them thought you could just walk in, take up an instrument and play, but there's a lot that you have to learn before that, and as a result, I would say we lost 2/3 of them. But the band, there would be probably 3 or 4 people left in the band still, who joined in 1955. I would have been 67 years in the band this year now.
Wow.
So I have plenty of staying power. Thank you.
You do have some staying power. You must be pretty talented to last in a band for 67 years. For those obviously living and around Maynooth, your latest CD is on sale, and that is in Maynooth Bookshop on the main street. And if people do want to donate, because, you know, festivals like this, of course, the band has to pay for it. It takes quite a bit of money to get over to places like this. And they can email your treasurer. That's Miriam at maynoothbandtreasurer@gmail.com. So a very exciting weekend ahead, Pat. Are there any, you have to do things a certain way for luck? What's that word? I can't think of it right now. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you have to do things a certain way to make sure the performance goes okay. Omens, or do you know, what's that word I'm looking for?
I'm trying to think. We'll have good luck token somewhere along the line. I can't remember the word.
Superstitions. Own Beattie just rang me and told me. Superstitions. Do you have any before you perform on stage, Pat?
No, I think having on the first night, they have this huge Welcome to the Nations, where every band taking part marches into a 2,000-seater marquee. They play a piece, the national anthem is played, and it's just a fantastic opening to the festival. And then over the weekend, we would be doing four or five recitals out in the open. And the forecast isn't wonderful for the weekend, so we just hope that it stays off.
Well, I hope so too. And I'm very much looking forward to this euphonium playing that you will be doing over the next few days. I advise everybody to Google euphonium, because you probably don't know what it is. And that is one of the instruments that Mr. Pat Boyd does play. He's been with St. Mary's Band in Maynooth for 67 years. He's currently the chairperson, and they are travelling to Germany this weekend for the International Music Festival in Bad Orb in Germany. And they'll be the only Irish band among the 32 bands taking part, and obviously proudly flying the Irish flag. That's in a 2,000-seater marquee on the opening night. Thank you so much for talking to me this afternoon, Pat Boyd.